Once a long time ago, there lived a little boy, and his name was Androcles.
What a funny name!
Well, I think it's pretty. Androcles. Androcles.
Ha ha!
I'll bet the children didn't keep interrupting Aesop.
Who?
A-E-S-O-P, Aesop. You see, that's what I mean, exactly. Could I please tell a story without any interruptions? Thank you. I still think it's a pretty name. What wasn't pretty, though, was that Androcles was a slave, and he had a very mean and cruel master. Poor Androcles. He worked from way before sunup till way after sundown. He worked very hard, but there was never any pleasing this master. Is this all there is to my life? Thought Androcles, when he had time to think, even. The great forest with its lurking dangers would be a better home. One day his master flew into a rage and struck out with his whip, and because Androcles was nearest, he felt the lash across his shoulders. He tried very hard not to cry, but right then and there he decided never to take such treatment again. He would run away to the forest that very night. It can be no worse facing a roaring lion than cowering under the lash of a cruel master. So that night, Androcles ran away. The forest was a dark and frightening place, and soon poor Androcles was lost. Oh dear, he thought, being here is worse than being there. It began to grow light, and he saw strange shapes lurking behind trees. And suddenly, before he knew it, there in front of him, the most ferocious beast of the forest, a lion. Androcles was stiff with the fright. The lion was roaring at him. Androcles closed his eyes. But that doesn't sound like roaring, he thought. It sounds more like moaning. Very cautiously, he opened his eyes and looked into the large, wet eyes of the lion. The lion was crying. There was a large thorn in the poor lion's paw, and it was bleeding. Androcles took the paw between his hands. He pulled out the thorn and bound the paw with a strip of cloth torn from his own clothing. There, said Androcles, that should make it feel better. My thanks, said the king of beasts, and he leaned over and licked Androcles a nice, wet, grateful kiss. He led him to his own cave, which was warm and dry, and Androcles lay down and at once fell asleep, and the lion stood guard. They became very fast friends. They went hunting together, and the lion taught Androcles many ways of the forest, and Androcles taught the lion a few tricks like, you know, roll over, play dead, sit up and beg, and so forth. One day, some hunters came into the forest, and they surprised Androcles and the lion while the lion was doing his tricks. It was hard to say just who was more surprised, but the hunters captured the boy and the lion, and they took them away to the circus. Circuses in those days were different from circuses now. The emperor and all the important people would come to the circus, and they would turn loose in the arena a lot of very hungry lions. Then they would turn into the same arena a lot of poor slaves, and the lions would tear the slaves apart and eat them up, and the people would laugh and applaud. This was a circus. When the hunters got Androcles and the lion into town, they separated them. They kept the lion locked up and didn't give him any food for several days, so he would be ravenously hungry. They locked Androcles up, too, and they stuffed him with food so he would be particularly appealing to an especially hungry lion. Poor Androcles. Poor lion. The day for the circus came. The emperor and his court were there. The arena was packed with screaming spectators. The lion was turned loose in the arena. He lay down. He rolled over. He was weak anyway. But he knew this was not going to please the crowd. They jeered. Then Androcles was thrown into the arena with the lion. A hush fell over the audience. The lion took one look at Androcles and staggered over to him and planted a large wet lick on his face. He was so glad to see his friend. Androcles threw his arms around the lion and stroked his mane. Well, since the beginning of circuses, the people had never seen anything like this. The crowd cheered, and when the lions sat up and begged before the emperor to spare their lives, the crowd went wild. The emperor was so amused, he ordered his slave freed, and the lion released to go back to the forest. That night, back in the forest, they were lying by the fire in the lion's cave, all nice and warm. "I'm very grateful," Androcles began. "For what?" asked the lion. "Why, for, for being... Well, you know, today, see, I know how hungry you were and all." "You think I would have eaten you?" asked the lion in a shocked tone. There was a silence. "After all," the lion said after a while, "I was grateful too. When I was felled with a wounded paw, you came along and made it all well. I was grateful for that." Then, after another while, and with a trace of hurt in his voice, he spoke. "Gratitude is a quality not just limited to man."
I still think Androcles is a pretty name. Oh, but here's a very pretty story, The Ant and the Dove.
Once upon a time, there was an ant, and as ants go, a very nice one, and of course a very industrious one. Like all the ants before him, there wasn't a lazy bone in his body, and what's more, he enjoyed his work. He sang at it, and this made him somewhat different from most ants. There were some among the ants who didn't appreciate his vocal efforts. Not that his singing was an effort. It wasn't. By him it came so easily. See, he didn't have to try hardly at all. Maybe it was this that made the other ants frown. Nothing could be good, they thought, that you didn't have to work at. However, he got his work done, and he sang too. And at the end of the workday, he didn't seem nearly as tired as some of the other non-singers. He was thirsty, though, and near the anthill where he lived, there was a beautiful little spring, and at the end of the day, when the work was done and the singing stopped, he loved to amble down to the spring for a nice, cool drink of water. One day, it was very hot, and the work was tiring, back and forth across a dusty road carrying straws. He sang marching songs, and the louder he sang, the harder he tramped. And the harder he tramped, the more dust got in his throat. Toward the end of the day, his feet were sore, and his throat was parched. He changed his tunes to "Across the Wide Missouri" and "A Drink to Me Only with Thine Eyes." It didn't help. It made him more thirsty. "I bet I beat everybody to the spring this evening," he thought. And when the boss ant finally called it a day, the little singing ant hightailed it, if one can use such an expression about an ant, down to the spring. The water never looked so cool and inviting. He sipped, he gulped, he goggled, and then he leaned far out for a good, healthy swig, and he fell kaplunk into the middle of his drink. Just at this time, a dove was sitting in a tree above the spring. She had just been drinking from the spring. Fortunately for the little ant, the dove had the eyes of an eagle. She saw the ant thrashing around in the water, and quickly she nipped off a leaf from the branch she was sitting on and dropped it down into the water. It floated gently and landed near the struggling ant. He managed to hoist himself upon it, and he just lay for a moment exhausted and scared. The dove watched from above. The leaf was bobbing about, but it was a safe raft for the ant, and very slowly the breeze fanned it toward the shore. The ant realized what had happened. He had been saved, and by a dove in a tree. He looked up and weakly waved his antenna. The dove smiled and cooed. Back on dry land, the little ant shook himself. He turned toward the tree to thank the dove again, but he couldn't see the tree. He couldn't even see the sky. Everything was blotted out by the shape of a hunter. Never had anything seemed as big as this hunter. His foot was the size of a mountain. He had missed stepping on the little ant only by the width of a blade of grass. To be saved from a watery grave and then to be nearly annihilated upon dry land.
The ant looked up, scarcely breathing, and way, way up in the hunter's hand was a net. "Oh, woe," cried the little ant. "He means to catch my benefactor, the dove, and she is completely unaware of her danger." Slowly, the hunter brought up his net, and quickly the little ant acted. He jumped up, climbed on the hunter's foot, and bit him on the ankle. Well, this startled the hunter, and he missed his aim so that the dove had a chance to fly away. The ant had saved the dove's life. One good turn deserves another.